بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praises due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous two lessons, we went through the different variations of dua al-istiftah. And this is the first dua that a person says after takbiratul ihram. After saying Allahu Akbar and initiating and starting the prayer, there are a number of different variations, different du'as that a person can make. And we explained and we studied the du'a Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. And also the du'a Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. Allahumma naqini min al-khataya kama yunqa al-thawb al-abyadu min al-danas. Allahumma aghsil khatayaya bil-ma'i wal-thalji wal-bard. And also the dua, alhamdulillahi hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. And also we went through the dua, wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal-ard hanifa wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. La sharika lah wa bidhalika umirtu wa ana awwalul muslimin. And also we went through the dua, Allahu akbaru kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila. And also, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, dhul malakuti wal jabaruti wal kibriyai wal azama. And finally, the last dua we went through is Allahumma rabba Jibra'il wa Mika'il wa Israfil فاطر السماوات والأرض عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. All of these supplications we learnt and we went through them, and I mentioned and I'll repeat once again that these du'as, these supplications, a person won't remember them if he just sits down and memorizes them over and over again. The only way to memorize these du'as is to say it in your salah. And none of us ever need to revise Subhanakallahumma bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. Why don't we need to revise it? Because every single day we are saying it in our salah. So the only way for these du'as to become second nature to you and to be memorized properly is if you learn them once and then you continuously say them in your salawat. And we also mentioned that the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam isn't that you say all of these du'as in a single salah. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to sometimes say one du'a and another time say other du'a. And in this lesson, we come to al-isti'adha and the statement Bismillahir Rahman Ar-Rahim. And the meaning of al-isti'adha is the saying A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. And al-isti'adha, this statement A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, which appears in the Quran sometimes at the beginning of some of the chapters, this isn't an ayah from the Quran. With the agreement of the mufassirun, this is not an ayah from the ayat of the Quran. And al-isti'adha, it begins with three letters, three additional letters, alif, seen, and ta. Isti'adha, alif, seen, and ta. In the Arabic language, when a noun is preceded by these three letters, alif, seen, ta, then its benefit is at-talab, meaning you are seeking something. So when we say istighfar, then it means seeking maghfirah, seeking forgiveness. And the meaning of isti'adha is seeking al-awdh. The meaning of al-awdh is protection and refuge from something. This is the meaning of عوذ اللجوء والاعتصام أي protection from something. So استعاذة is like استغفار. استغفار means seeking مغفرة, seeking forgiveness. استعاذة is means seeking عوذ, and the meaning of عوذ is اللجوء والاعتصام أي protection and refuge from something. And isti'adha is a type of dua. So dua is different types. There is isti'ana, like you say, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, seeking help. And istighatha, and also isti'adha. These three are types of dua. Isti'adha is seeking protection from something before the evil occurs. This is the meaning of isti'adha. So you seek refuge from something before it occurs. Like seeking refuge in a shelter before the thunderstorm comes, before it comes. Istighatha, this is seeking help and seeking rescue after the problem has occurred. Like Allah said regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, in one of the battles he said, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. When you sought rescue from your Lord, and so He answered you. You sought rescue after you were in the midst of the battle. And as for isti'ana, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, then this is generally seeking help. And you see, these three terms, isti'adha, isti'gatha, isti'ana, all of them begin with alif seen ta, meaning you're seeking something. So istighatha is seeking ghawth. And the meaning of ghawth is rescue after you're already in a problem. Isti'ana is seeking al-awn. And the meaning of awn is help and aid and support. And isti'adha is seeking al-awdh, which I mentioned is protection, refuge before something occurs. So if we know that isti'adha is a type of dua, and we know dua is ibadah, then this shows we're not allowed to seek refuge or seek protection or seek rescue from other than Allah. If we direct isti'adha, istighatha, isti'ana to other than Allah, it becomes shirk, unless four conditions are fulfilled. So the question is, when is a person allowed to seek refuge from other than Allah? Because we know seeking refuge is a type of dua, or seek help or seek rescue. The ulama, they mention there are four conditions that have to be fulfilled. Who remembers the conditions? So the person that you're seeking help from or refuge in, he has to be hay, living, hadir, present, or you're able to communicate with him. And before that, qadir, he has to have the ability. He has to have the ability to help you. And then sabab, that the person you're seeking help from or seeking refuge from, you believe it is Allah who has helped you, and this person is only a means whom Allah has placed upon the earth. Hayyun, hadirun, qadirun, sabab. So if a person seeks rescue, ghawth or awdh, from somebody who is deceased, then this is shirk, kufr akbar. And if a person does it from somebody who is living but is not present or cannot communicate to him, like a person is in Britain and he seeks help from somebody who is in India, one of the Muslim countries, just shouts out to him, this becomes kufr akbar. Or he seeks help from somebody in something which he cannot do. So he goes to a living person who is present and asks him for a child or for the sending of rain, this is now shirkun akbar. Or if a person believes that the one who has helped him, he's the real helper, this is also shirk and kufr. Rather, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the real helper. So we say a'udhu, meaning I seek refuge, I seek protection in who? Billah, in Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-mu'adh, i.e. the one who gives refuge and gives protection. And who do we seek protection from? Min ash-shaytan, from ash-shaytan. What is the meaning of ash-shaytan? Brothers, concentrate. What is the meaning of ash-shaytan? Ash-shaytan is every kafir, jinni or insi, whether it is from the jinn or from the humans, from the insan, muharibun lil Islam, and he is fighting against Islam and he seeks to misguide the people. So every kafir, whether it is jinn or human, and he's opposing Islam and trying to misguide other people is called a shaytan. And this shows us that the shayateen are two types. Shayateen al-ins and shayateen al-jinn, like Allah mentions in the Quran. Shayateen al-ins, i.e. the shayateen amongst mankind, and shayateen al-jinn, i.e. shayateen amongst the jinn. What is the common factor between both of them? That they are upon kufr, they seek to misguide people, and they oppose al-Islam. And when we say ash-shaytan, so before the word shaytan there is alif lam. And this alif lam in the Arabic language, it is called alif lam lil-jins. And the meaning of jins is the whole type. Meaning when a person says ash-shaytan, i.e. every type of shaytan. Whether it is al-iblis alayhi la'natullah, the one whom Allah ordered to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam and he was too arrogant to do so. Or it is from the offspring of shaytan, i.e. the other shayateen. Or it is the shayateen amongst the men or amongst the jinn. When we say ash-shaytan with the alif lam, it includes all of them. And this word ash-shaytan, where does it come from? What's the asal of ash-shaytan? Shaytan has three root letters. Sheen, ta and noon. These are the three root letters of shaytan. Sheen, ta and noon. And the meaning of sheen, ta, noon is ba'uda, a person or a being who has been made distanced. So in the Arabic language, shatana or shatuna, it means to become distanced from something. And the reason why shaytan is called shaytan is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distanced him from his mercy. This is the meaning of a shaytan. Because a shaytan is al-mal'oon. He is the one who has the la'na of Allah upon him. And what is the meaning of la'na? When somebody says la'natullah, we translate it as the curse of Allah. It means al-ib'ad min rahmatillah. It means for a person to be made far away, a distance from the mercy of Allah. This is the meaning of la'na. And a shaytan, he is al-la'in. He is al-mal'oon. He is the one who has been cursed by Allah, meaning he has been made distance from the mercy of Allah. For this reason, as a side benefit, it isn't allowed for a Muslim to say la'na upon any person who is living by name, whether he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim. It isn't allowed. So even the worst of the kuffar, as long as that kafir is living, the greatest enemy of the Muslims, it isn't allowed for us to make la'na of him. Because the meaning of la'na is to be made distant from the mercy of Allah. And you don't know, perhaps this person who is a great enemy of Islam now, perhaps by the mercy of Allah he will enter into Islam. And the greatest enemies of Islam are those who fought and killed the companions that fought against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, many of them, they ended up entering into Islam. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forbade the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making la'na of any specific individual. He said, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ, that you don't have anything to do with this. Meaning when it comes to the guidance of Allah and Allah changing the heart, it isn't in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ, you do not have anything to do with this. This was after the Battle of Uhud, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a group of people. And he said, how will Allah guide a people who have injured his prophet? And then Allah revealed this ayah, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ, that when it comes to guidance and the changing of the hearts, then this is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason, the ulama mentioned, it isn't allowed for a person to say, لَعْنَةُ ala fulan, regardless of how severe his kufr is and how bad his animosity is towards the Muslims. And الشيطان, in this isti'adha, he is described as being ar-rajim. And the meaning of ra-jim, meem, rajama, is ar-rami, to throw something. This is the meaning of ar-rajim, ra-jim and meem. And ar-rajim, it has two meanings. Either ra-jim or marjum. Either ra-jim or marjum. The meaning of ra-jim is the one who throws himself. The meaning of marjum is the one who has been thrown. And ash-shaytan, alayhi la'natullah, he is both al-rajim and he is al-marjum. He is the one who throws and he is the one who has been thrown. So how is he rajim? How is he the one who throws? Because he throws doubts of misguidance at people. And for this reason he is called ar-rajim, i.e. the one who throws doubts and entices the people to disobey Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَرْسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ تَأُزُّهُمْ أَزَّنْ Surah Maryam. Allah said, have you not seen how we send the shayateen upon the kuffar? تَأُزُّهُمْ أَزَّا They help them and they entice them into doing more sins and more disobedience. So the meaning of rajim here is rajim, i.e. the one who throws. And also a shaytan, he's marjum. Marjum meaning he's the one who has been thrown. Meaning he has been thrown out and distanced from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ rajim. Exit from here, meaning from Jannah, you are ar-rajim. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ Because upon you is the curse up until the day of resurrection. And the meaning of la'na is to be made distance from the mercy of Allah. So, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ In essence, this is a dua. When you begin your salah, you are supplicating to Allah, O Allah, in my salah, protect me from a shaytan. Protect me from the whispers, the wiswas of a shaytan, and make him far away from my heart. And then there is a second variation of this. You say, أَعُوذُ بِالسَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Add to this, the brothers who have pens and papers with them, add to this four more words. أَعُوذُ بِالسَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مِنْ هَمْزِهِ So مِنْ مِيمْ and نُون هَمْزِهِ هَا مِيمْ زَا and هَا هَمْزِهِ وَنَفْخِهِ وَاوْ نُون فَا خَا and هَا وَنَفْخِهِ وَنَفْثِهِ Waw, Noon, Fa, Tha, and Ha. A'udhu bis Samil Alim, min al Shaytan al Rajim, min Hamzihi, wa Nafkhihi, wa Nafthihi. Because both of these are mentioned, they both have been narrated. A'udhu bis Samil Alim, min al Shaytan al Rajim, min Hamzihi, wa Nafkhihi, wa Nafthihi. So, in this variation of the dua, instead of saying A'udhu Billah, we say A'udhu Bissami' Al-Alim. So we mentioned two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of His beautiful names is As-Sami' and the other beautiful name of Allah is Al-Alim. And these two beautiful names, they contain two attributes of Allah. Because every name of Allah contains an attribute. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they differ from the names of human beings. The names of Allah differ because each name of Allah contains a meaning and it contains an attribute and sometimes it contains an action. The names of human beings, sometimes they have meanings, sometimes they don't have meanings. So many of the English names like George and John, they don't have meanings to them. Or sometimes they have a meaning, but that meaning isn't true to the person. So how many people do we know who are called Abdullah, the worship of Allah, and yet they have never worshipped Allah? How many people are called Salih, someone who is righteous, and yet he's the most disobedient of people? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single one of His name is a proper name, meaning it contains a meaning and an attribute. And these names and attributes are true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, As-Sami', the one who hears, and it contains the attribute of As-Sam', of hearing, i.e. complete perfect hearing. And Al-Alim, the one has complete knowledge, this contains the attribute of Al-Ilm, that Allah knows. And the reason why we say use these two names here, As-Sami' Al-Alim, that Allah hears and knows, because we don't hear what the shaitan says except whisperings which he puts in the hearts of the people. And we don't know the reality of a shaitan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hears everything which shaitan says, and He knows everything which shaitan does. And therefore, it's appropriate that we seek refuge with Allah from a shaitan. And then we say, أَعُوذُ بِالسَّمِيلَ عَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مِنْ هَمْزِهِ وَنَفْخِهِ وَنَفْثِهِ We seek refuge in Allah from shaitan in three things. From the hams of shaitan, and the nafkh of shaitan, and the nafth of shaitan. These three words, they have a similar meaning. Meaning from the blowing of shaitan and from the enticement of shaitan. This is the meaning of hams or nafkh or nafkh. It means like blowing or whispering of a shaitan. However, the narrator of this hadith, he mentioned that hams, it is the pressure which shaitan places upon people, such that he possesses them or a person loses his sanity for a while. So the meaning of hams is al-dhaght wal-darb, the pressure which shaitan places or how shaitan hits a person such that a person becomes possessed or loses sanity for a while. And the meaning of nafkhihi is that shaitan, he whispers to a person to have kibar, to have arrogance and pride. So shaitan whispers to a person to make him think that he is better than everybody else, and that person is lower than him. Like Iblis did with himself when he came to Adam alayhi salam. And the meaning of an-nafth is that shaitan entices people, the narrator mentions, to mention verses of poetry which contain evil or harm in them. These are the three meanings that were mentioned regarding hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa naftihi. And also when a person does ruqya, he begins his ruqya with this. A person places his hand upon the person who is ill and he says, A'udhu bis samil alim min ash-shaytanir rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa naftihi. And then after this, we come to Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, it has a term and it's called Al-Basmala. This is the meaning of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Al-Basmala. So we have Alhamdala. Alhamdulillah is Alhamdulillah. Al-Basmala is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And Al-Hawqala. Does anybody know Al-Hawqala, what it is? Naam, who said it? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Ahsan. Al-Hawqala, ay la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Sometimes it is called Al-Hawqala and sometimes it is called Al-Hawlaqa. Both terms are correct. So the Basmala, this statement, it contains three names of Allah and two attributes. First, the main name of the Creator, Allah. And the name Allah, it contains the attribute Al-Uluhiyya. The meaning of Al-Uluhiyya is the one who is worthy of all worship. So Allah, it contains this name. Allah, it contains the attribute Al-Uluhiyya. And then Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, they contain the attribute Ar-Rahmah, which is mercy. The meaning of Ar-Rahman is Dhur-Rahma al-Wasi'a, the one who possesses the most amount of mercy. And the word Ar-Rahim, it means Dhur-Rahma al-Wasila, the one who bestows this mercy. So the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim is Ar-Rahman is a description of the that of Allah, the essence of Allah, meaning the that of Allah is that He's the most merciful. And Ar-Rahim is a description of the actions of Allah, that Allah bestows mercy upon creation. And some of the ulama said that the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim is Ar-Rahman is for whole of mankind and Ar-Rahim is a mercy which is specific to the believers, i.e. on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And we start our salah and we start every action with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, seeking blessings of Allah. So you find in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that before a person enters the toilet, he says, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. And before a person makes wudu, he says, Bismillah. Before a person begins to recite the Quran, he says, Bismillah. Before a person begins to teach, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before eating, we say, Bismillah. Before leaving the house, we say, Bismillah wa tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Meaning, every righteous action, every important action that a person does, a person mentions the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this command is contained in the Quran. In fact, the first word which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah said, Iqra, recite. He said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Recite in the name of your Lord, the one who has created. The ulama mentioned that this ayah, Iqra, this is ishara. Allah is alluding to the importance of always mentioning and starting everything with Bismillah. And the meaning of Bismillah Rahman Rahim is Bismillah in the name of Allah, meaning every single name of Allah. Every single name of Allah. And then there is a verb which is missing, and that is, I begin my salah, I leave my house, I begin my wudu, I go to sleep, whatever the action you are doing. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. And this sentence, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, it also contains a tawheed. Because you are saying that you are seeking the blessings of Allah in everything which you do. Because there's nobody who can give you barakah, give you blessings, except Allah, who is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Both of these statements, they are mustahab. So the rulings of saying A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem and Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is that it is recommended. So if a person says the salah and forgot to say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem or forgot to say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then there's no need to repeat the salah or repeat the rakah or make sujood as-sahu. Also, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem is said in the first rak'ah only. And as for Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then it can be said in every single rak'ah before Surah Al-Fatiha. And Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah mentions that even if a person was to repeat A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem and Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim in every single rak'ah, fala bas. There is no problem with this, as some of the ulama have mentioned. And we should say Al-Basmala at the beginning of every surah. And we say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem at the beginning of the recitation. Meaning, if after Surah Al-Fatiha, a person is going to recite the middle of Surah Baqarah, then he doesn't need to say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Sorry, he doesn't need to say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Bismillah is only said at the beginning of a surah. If you're reciting from the middle of the surah or some ayat from the surah, you do not mention Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. However, if a person was to say it, then there's no problem with this. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.